Pass Radio, America's weekly motorcycle talk show.
I got me a date with some of the motocrossers up around the way.
Your source for weekly updates on what's happening in the world of motorcycle racing.
You know how fast you're going?
Industry news, trends, the people involved.
I'm Ricky Carmichael.
This is Kevin Schwantz.
This is Josh Teemeth.
This is Kelly Smith.
This is Travis Latron.
This is Jeremy McGrath.
And now, Pit Pass Radio.
Hello again, everybody. It is Pit Pass Motor Racing Weekly. Scott Casper in studio with one of the best guys I know. And of course, that, of course, PJ Duran, who's appearing because of our great friends at Hicklin Power Sports. Look for them online, hicklinpowersports.com. We'll get to you in a minute, PJ, but I do want to thank our friends at Evergreen Podcast Productions, the fine purveyor of this podcast, and you'll look for them online at evergreenpodcast.com. Great and creative lineup of lifestyle programming, including this very program. So do want to thank our friends Chris Bishop and Tommy Boy Halverson for contributing to this week's program. Tony Wink with this particular program or portion of the show off. Jack and Leanne De Leon producing the program as always. Thank you, guys. News from around the world. Jack, can you give me just a little more? A little more. There you go. News from around the motorcycling world, and we'll have Drake Beecham on the program, one of my favorite young guests out there. PJ Jacobson will be joining us. Jamie, how do you say, is it
Astudillo?
Astudillo. I mess it up every time. Mitch Oldenburg will be joining us, Cam McAdoo as well. But we start the program with some news from World Superbike in Aragon, Motor America Round 1 in Atlanta, and of course the Nashville Round of Supercross. And with that, let's go to PJ. PJ, how are you?
I am doing very well, thank you, Scott, and I'll try to be quick as Cameron's waiting on us. We'll get you on in a moment, Cameron. Nashville Supercross in the 450 class. Eli Tomac came back swinging. Baggett came in second place with Cooper Webb, the current points leader, rounding out the top three. That leaves Cooper with a 21-point advantage over Moose Cannon and Tomac in the overall. In the 250 class, we had Mr. Davalos with the win ahead of Chase Sexton and Justin Cooper. Things are tight in the 250 overall with Faulkner on 151 points. Sexton only 3 points back with three rounds to go. Cooper seven back. We've got three rounds left, as we know, and the third one, of course, being the finale. East meets West at Vegas over in Road Atlanta. You mentioned in the Superbike Round 1, Cameron Beaubier got the first win of the year. This was the first round. Tony Elias a close second with J.D. Beach coming in a hard-fought third. In the second race of the weekend for the Superbikers, Elias was able to come out on top with Matthew Skoltz in second. Beaubier drifted back to third. J.D. held on for fourth. So Elias is leading the points right now, but it's going to be a good
Tony's
year.
Tony's a tough cookie. I mean,
tough guy and a strong competitor.
Amazing.
Knows how to win the title.
All right, let's bring our guest up. And Cam, you can work with us through the numbers here. And, of course, you've probably seen these already from our friends at RacerX. And let's just go through the numbers. Four wins on the season for Monster Energy Kawasaki's Eli Tomac. Not sure what the news is or the chatter around the pits, but is there anybody that can really truly challenge him? What are your thoughts? Good question, isn't it? I mean, seriously, he seems to have found his line. I know that Coop has as well, because Coop has got, what, six wins on the season, but it seems like Eli Tomac is just pouring it on.
Yeah, I think, you know, Tomac always has the ability, I feel like, to do that. And like he had said, how he felt like he could manage the win, I heard in his press conference. And
right.
Like, watching back in 2017 and stuff, you could tell Tomac could do stuff like that, almost going back to 17 Vegas when he did what he did, and that was just crazy. But I mean, I think that there's been multiple times that it's like, oh, Cooper's under pressure, like he might crack like early on in a main event. He does might not look like he has the pace, and then all of a sudden he pulls through. And so I mean, I think that I believe there's four guys that still can win each weekend.
It's been a great season, really.
Yeah, and I think Ken might not have gotten enough credit for last weekend. Almost like, man, he was coming, he was going forward and going forward fast. And so I think that he's got a win coming still too. And you can never count Marv out. Coop's been so solid. I think it's so close right now that all those guys are definitely able to win. And they've proved it. So.
Yep, they absolutely have it. As have you, Cameron. You've had a good season. I'm sure you're chomping at the bit, ready to get to. I mean, it's the final race for you guys, right? There's only one more for you West Coast competitors. That's Vegas, right?
No, we have Denver this weekend and then Vegas.
There's Denver, yeah.
Yep. Sorry, there's three rounds, so. And two of them are... West. Well, our West. Well, and the Vegas is an East meets West, right?
Yep, exactly.
So everybody, East and West, both get another round, and then it's the showdown. You've been looking good. Am I correct? You don't have a deal as of yet for outdoors, is that right?
Yep, that's correct. I'm up in the air with outdoors. I'm focused on doing the very best I can do at these last two rounds of Supercross, and I have been riding some outdoors and stuff with the FC Honda team, and they've been doing some testing, so I've been just, trying to help out with that or whatever, and being ready, because the nature of the beast of our sport is that, someone might need someone, so currently I don't have anything for outdoors, but it'll all work out.
I'm scratching my head over this because I don't understand how Cam McAdoo does not have a deal already done. We're talking with Cameron McAdoo, currently seventh in the overall standings, three rounds left, or at least two that we know of. And Cam, looking forward, this is really, if you think about it, how many years for you racing?
Technically, I'm on my third year.
Third year. But, you're just a kid.
2017 was my first year, and I didn't even get to race outdoors, and I only got to race like four Supercrosses.
So how
of injury, and then last year, 2018, very first round of Supercross, I got ran into in the first lap and broke my hand, and then that was
painful was that
my Supercross season.
Yeah, did that hurt really bad or what?
Pain-wise, I think the most it hurt was knowing that, all the work that you put in from, say, September until then, and it's kind of all taken away in one little moment. But actually, when I first broke it, it was the very first lap of the first round, I finished the whole race, and it was... just a small break in my hand, and so I went to the second round in Tampa, and I raced that. I didn't ride all week. Raced Tampa, and I finished eighth. Like I could barely hold on to the bike, So I was hoping that I could just not ride during the week and go week to week and let it heal. And then I went to line up at Atlanta, and I got cross jumped on a triple at Atlanta, and I had a crash, and it like. Just pretty much completely shattered the bone of my hand. So that was the end of it for me. And at that point, we couldn't obviously move on and keep trying to push through it. So, but yeah, I mean, honestly, the biggest part of, I think, injury for anyone in the sport of racing is not the pain that you're going through or any of that. Like, yeah, it does hurt, but it's the knowing that you're not able to do the job that you're hired to do.
How's your health been this year, Cam? I mean, your results... Say you've put in a very solid year.
Yeah, my health's been great. It's been good, ever since I came back to racing on the third round outdoors last year and raced the whole outdoor season. And then I was able to do some off-season racing in Europe and in Australia and stuff. And so I had a good off-season. And I was actually on a Yamaha for probably 6 weeks in the off-season. I was going to be riding for the... I was riding the CTR Motorsports bike, and then late December, basically I was actually at the airport flying home for Christmas, and I got a call from FC, and
cool,
they kind of put things together, and I flew out here the day after Christmas out of California, and and I had maybe 4 days on the bike before A1 because wow. I had planned on going to race East Coast, and so it was definitely, the bike has come a long ways and it's changed a lot since the last time I had ridden it, and with not much testing and stuff, I felt ready for Anaheim, but I've definitely these last few rounds with some weeks off and some good testing with the team and getting the bike down, I'm really feeling good, and I feel like I've come to pretty good form at this point, I'm ready to finish the season strong for sure.
And where are you? Are you residing in California during season? We know.
Yes, I am. The last 4.5 years, actually, I've lived in South Carolina, and January this year, I decided to move out to California and make a little change in my program, and I just felt like that California is kind of the place where I need to be right now, and so I'm based out of California now.
You got a girlfriend out there or what?
No, I don't. I don't even have enough time.
You would make time for a pretty girl. Everybody's got to eat dinner once in a while, go to see a movie or something.
So, Cam, we would call you a hometown boy. Sioux City's your hometown, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're here in the luxurious studios of our Evergreen podcast production, and we're in the great place in Des Moines.
Yeah.
Des Moines, Iowa. Yeah. So, down the road.
Yeah, for sure.
You get back much this way? Wait, you were at Brayton. Did you do Tony's Brayton shootout last year at Winterset?
Yeah, I did. That was just before I was going to head out to California to start getting ready for outdoors. I was home, because I was home for a couple weeks.
I had so much fun talking to you. You were ton of fun to talk to, dude. That was
a fun event, actually.
Mostly because of the MC. The MC is very good.
Makes the show.
Yeah.
Well, without him, there is no show, sadly. Cam McAdoo is our guest. Okay, so Cam, let's talk a little bit about what happens next, okay? For a guy in your position, obviously, seventh, not necessarily want to be, but still highly respectable. So how do we move you up into a guy that's got a 2 or 3 year deal? What has to happen, and who's representing you?
To be honest, what has to happen is I need to go prove myself these last two rounds. And six places are cool or whatever, fifth, but I need to be on the podium, and that's kind of the bottom line. Just go show my speed and show what I've been working on, and the rest will fall as it does. So we're going to, I'm still focused on just doing the job at hand right now that I'm hired to do. I know it'll all fall into place as it's supposed to.
And you, first of all, it's been a great season for you, Cam, I would say. And
amen.
Just great news that you've been able to stay healthy. Do you change anything in your training? I mean, accidents happen in all forms of motor racing every week. We are literally talking to guys who, if they didn't just get injured, they're riding injured. That's the nature of the beast in professional motorcycle racing. Or do you make changes to, your diet or anything to, compensate for injuries?
Honestly, yeah, that's funny you asked that, because that was a big thing when I first turned pro. I was just changed in training and even diet too, and basically I was so used to being able to just hammer out a crazy amount of training all year long, because I was preparing for 3 races a year, as an amateur, these 3 big race weeks. But as a pro, you got to be there every weekend and be good on the weekend, I was always feeling like I was not doing enough and stuff, I feel like the first year I've turned pro, I was too lean. That was one issue I felt like I had. There was a few things that I, had to figure out with my body and stuff like that. I think we learned, I feel good. It's been good to string races together and prove to everyone that also I'm durable as well. I felt like I was starting to get almost like that rap of, man, that dude's always hurt, and that was not what I wanted. So it's been good to prove that, you know, I am durable and I can go through seasons, and that's, you know, the biggest part of it. You look at the greatest guys in our sport, you know, Dungy and Carmichael and those guys, it's like their stats are unreal. You know, they were there every single time, and that's what it takes.
Yeah, and you mentioned him earlier, Roczen coming back. I mean, it's been such a strong season for that guy that we I think people are already starting to forget how wounded he was, and the fact that he was at A1 and did what he did this entire season. Now people just expect it, and that it was an impressive display. Well, after
there are people that are saying, yeah. PJ, there are people saying that he did that. He did A1 as much for anybody himself, right?
Cause oh, yeah.
You got to get back on that horse and ride. And that's perhaps the most difficult thing for an athlete to do, because the athlete in the off time while repairing will question himself or herself and their ability to do just that. And that perhaps is the greatest challenge they ever have, is not just heart, but head. And head gets in the way a lot of times. Does that ever happen with you, Cam, where your head gets in the way of the heart?
I mean, I think it's everyone's head. That's your biggest thing. I think all the racers are, you know, all so good and so fit and everything that I believe that's, you know, the biggest thing that separates each other. And like noting back on Ken, like people don't even have a clue of what that guy went through. I don't even, but I just know that, you know, even before outdoors last year, when he was coming back from his second arm injury with when he crashed with Webb, I remember the week, I think it was maybe the week after Hangtown or Glen Helen or something, it was two rounds in already, we went mountain biking on a Wednesday,
wow,
a big group of us, and his hand and arm was so bad that he could barely lift, he couldn't even lift a mountain bike off of a bike rack out of the back of a truck.
Wow.
He was still going out and podiuming outdoor races and stuff, and then, you know, people have what it takes to say that, oh, Ken never got fit, and it's like, you know, I feel like, yeah, I mean, I've heard doctors
selling him short.
That he'd be lucky to ever hold a kitchen utensil again properly, and so it's beyond impressive what he's been able to do.
Well, obviously, we've been looking at you for a while, dude, and you're one of those that we think highly of, otherwise you wouldn't be on the show. But the way you respect your fellow racers out there, I think is remarkable in and of its own self, because obviously what you do is not easy, okay? And I think our listeners need to know that. What you do is not easy, injured or not. But when you do get injured, there are you know, a lot of steps to go through to get to race ready, and you have to challenge yourself, and you do it every single week. Right now, sitting in seventh, nice job out of you. I know you'd like to finish higher than that, so surely we're going to be behind you, rooting for you every step of the way. But one of the really great guys in our sport is Cam McAdoo out of Sioux City, Iowa. And yeah, did I have fun talking with you? Yeah, I did. It's neat to talk with somebody in your position that literally is one of the best in the world, and to not have that best in the world type attitude, it just absolutely works for you. Was your mom there?
Yeah, at the, yeah, the Brayton race.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was. Yep.
Yeah, your mom's cool, yep, too. Cool chick.
Yes.
So don't tell her I said so. I don't want her to get a big head or anything like that. But
thank you very much.
She was very cool. All right, Cam, sponsors, who do you want to thank?
You know, obviously the whole FC Honda team that's behind me, and they've, you know, been putting in their hardest work for the Supercross season, and yeah, we're doing our best, and Shift MX, Fox, Mobius, 100%, Alpine Stars, and everyone else that gets us to the races. Thank you.
Are you planning on coming to the Brayton Shootout this year?
I mean, I'm not sure when the date is and stuff, but if
I just show up,
you know, after the season and the off season, yeah, I might as well go, right?
Like, well, why not? But if you do, yeah, you have to bring me some stickers and patches, okay?
All right, deal.
Is it? You heard it, Peter.
You heard him. Well, you can write it down. You scored, you Scott.
I'll bring a jersey. How about that?
Yeah, right. Even better, Double X. What?
Good luck in Denver, man.
And you remember the shoes that Braden brought me, right? Those beautiful white clouds. Let me tell you something.
I don't.
Those are casino shoes. That's what you wear inside. You don't wear them outside, but you wear them inside the casino because they're that white. And you don't want to mess with them. Jack could probably pull it off. I couldn't do it. And Leanne would go, why are you wearing Scott's shoes? Anyway, all right, buddy. God bless you, Cam. Best to your family, okay?
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate having me on.
You bet. Cameron McAdoo on the program. It is Pit Pass Motor Racing Weekly, part of the Evergreen Podcast System. We appreciate you listening. Do check out the rest of our podcast programming at evergreenpodcast.com for a diverse and dynamically curated blend of created programs. Stay tuned. Back after this.
This is Jeff Gibson. You're listening to Pit Pass Radio.
Hey, everybody, it's Scott Casper from Pit Pass Radio. V-Rubber offers a whole range of performance motocross and off-road tires, starting with the VRM229 for hard-pack supercross settings, and the VRM300. It's designed for intermediate soil conditions.
Ready to up your game and learn more about the thrilling world of sports betting? Introducing Double Down with Breslow, the ultimate podcast about the business of sports gambling. Join me, James Breslow, and a long list of expert guests as we dive into the art and science of the sports betting industry. Evolving regulations, technology enhancements, and the meteoric rise in the number of players makes this sector the fastest growing and most intriguing in the world. Unlock the business secrets from many of the industry's most recognizable C-suite executives, including famous odds makers and influencers. Every episode of Double Down with Breslow is packed with insider tips, deeply skilled analysis, and in-depth discussions. Don't miss out on the ultimate resource for mastering the business of sports betting. Listen to Double Down with Breslow on the Evergreen Podcast Network or wherever you listen to podcasts. That's Double Down with Breslow, the business of sports betting podcast.